Deliverance night has come, and the beer is cold, and we're talking about a movie you should see. If you like our show, you should click subscribe so you know when we post new stuff on the.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Parents Night In here at enoughof.com.
A boozy movie review show.
A boozy movie review show, as we've been rebranded by John Taffer.
John Taffer came in and said,
yeah, I consulted
what?
Bar Rescue.
This isn't a bar.
He swung a little bit to the left, and he handles YouTube as well. And he said, do you want people to watch your show?
This went off the rails fast.
It did. This is our third Stephen King-based episode.
Oh.
We did The Shining, we did It, and now we're doing Stand By Me.
Is Stephen King on the top of the leaderboard?
In terms of, like, movies related to a specific person?
Yeah, or topic,
I mean,
or
I guess,
something.
I guess.
Who else is on the leaderboard?
Tom Hanks is on there 3 times.
Oh, they're tied.
They're tied. Stephen King, Tom Hanks, you're both great. Stand By Me. When did you see this first? Did I show you this movie?
I believe so. I think I saw parts of it when I was younger, but never the whole thing, for sure. So no, I think my first full viewing was with you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
This is another one of Rob Reiner's famous Perfect Seven, where his first 7 movies were all classics, and then his career took a nosedive after that.
What did it sound like?
Boo! Rob Reiner.
That was a weird end.
It's a coming-of-age story about 4 12-year-old boys who go out in search of a dead kid.
Very heartwarming.
It's a weird premise, but...
Based
on, of course, on a Stephen King novella called The Body. It was partly autobiographical, not so much the dead body part, but the Gordy character is based on him. He was a budding author and really awkward and not sure what to do with himself. And
so he went out and looked for a dead body.
When this came out, Stephen King said that it was his favorite adaptation of any of his books, which there wasn't a ton of competition yet, but
yeah,
he loved it.
What year did this come out?
86.
Okay.
So I saw it in the theater with my parents, and I was interested once I found out that Corey Feldman was in it, because I had just seen him in Goonies, and I had seen him in a couple other things before that. And I was like,
you were young at this point.
I was young to see this movie.
I was going
to
say, like, as a...
A lot of swear words.
You were about the same age as the boys in the movie.
I was.
Yeah.
Hence, perfect.
Yeah.
And like The Princess Bride, right after it, it's one of those movies that's a succinct 90 minutes, and it's perfect at that length.
Yeah, yeah. I do. I like everything about this movie.
Yeah.
Also, it's got R-Drive. I don't know. Dry is better.
Arfus. Step into my Arfus.
And I like R-Drive.
Yes.
He's at 2 on the leaderboard.
He's at 2, yes.
Yeah.
He and Rob Reiner are tied. Mm-hmm. We see a middle-aged man sitting in his Jeep, lost in thought.
His name is R-Dry.
He seems troubled by something. We're not sure what.
Probably the headline he just read in the paper about some attorney being stabbed in a restaurant.
Some attorney being stabbed. He's very upset by that. Flashback.
The whole movie's a flashback. It's like that time we watched A League of Their Own and, and Dottie was drooling.
Gina Davis was like, This is yet another movie that has a great soundtrack full of 1950s hits.
Yeah. Well, the 50s were awesome for music.
Yeah. When they cast these 4 boys, they more or less cast them to type. Because Will Wheaton was super awkward and skinny and just really unsure of himself. River Phoenix, who had actually auditioned for Gordy, was really confident and just came off as a natural leader.
Right.
And Corey Feldman had a lot of parental resentment, apparently. And was just full of anger. So they were like, well, he's perfect for Teddy.
Right.
And Jerry O'Connell was just a goofball and cracked everyone else up.
Like, if you looked at Jerry O'Connell today,
he's the hot one now.
Yeah, you wouldn't think that he was the same kid.
It's crazy.
Well, I mean, River Phoenix isn't alive, so it's hard to judge.
I know that, but, like, who would have thought that Jerry O'Connell would end up being, like, the stud 10 years later?
Mm-hmm.
I also like how everyone's got different color shirts.
That's the weirdest sentence you've ever said while watching a movie.
Why?
I really like it how everyone has different color shirts, because when I watch movies that where people have the same color shirts, I'm like, oh my God, there's too many same color shirts.
Jesus Christ.
But when they all wear different color shirts, I can tell them apart better, because if they wear the same color shirt, they all look the same.
Is this going to go on for a long time?
What's your point?
They each have like a color that's associated with them. It's interesting.
Well, do they only wear their color like sort of throughout?
Yeah, because it all takes place in like 2 days. Mm. It takes place in, over the course of a weekend.
Yeah.
All their performances are very natural.
Yeah.
Corey Feldman was always a very good child actor, I thought.
I really liked him. Yeah. He, like, even as a kid, I was like, that kid is so, like...
interesting.
Yeah, like, it was like, he's kind of weird looking, but I really like looking at him. Like, I couldn't explain that to myself. I couldn't figure out how to reconcile it as a kid.
Well, he's captivating.
He's super captivating.
And quirky.
It makes me sad. I do believe that he went through a lot.
He went through a lot.
And it makes me sad that it's screwed with him.
Apparently with Michael Jackson, too. Mm. Like, I think his parents were pretty terrible to him, but there was the whole Michael Jackson thing. Yeah, he's had a troubled adulthood.
Right.
Unfortunately.
I wonder if he'll ever have a comeback.
Tarantino should cast him in something. Mm. He's the king of comebacks.
Yes.
I wonder how River Phoenix's career would have turned out.
I know. When Joaquin won the
Oscar
for Joker, he talked a lot about how he basically kind of like gave up on acting, and River coaxed him to get back into it. And so he thanked his late brother for doing that for him.
How much older was River than Joaquin?
Would you like me to find out? Because I could.
Could you?
I could. I will look it up on the Google box, and then I will know how old Joaquin was compared to River. This got out of my hands a little bit.
Oh, you were just stuffing more and more shit in the box.
What's in the box?
Too many syllables.
You want to know what's in the box? Shit.
Wow. It's John Cusack.
Oh, John Cusack's cute here.
Yeah, he was a teen heartthrob back then.
I know, but look how cute he is. Joaquin Phoenix. Is that how you say it?
John Cusack made a very likable older brother.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit, he's dead.
So he was born in 1970.
Joaquin?
Or yep.
River?
River. And Joaquin was born a year before you.
Joaquin was born a year before me?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, he was a very late bloomer then, because in Parenthood, he hadn't even really hit puberty yet.
Mm.
And that was like, I was 13 when that was shot, which means he was 14. So he was a very late bloomer.
Mm.
As a kid, Chris was always my favorite character.
Well, yeah, he's the bad boy.
He's the bad boy. He's just...
You have a thing for bad boys.
He's got... Jesus. He's got the...
he's the John Lennon.
Yes, he is the John Lennon. And Will Wheaton is the Paul McCartney.
Mm.
Also, this is the first thing I saw Kiefer Sutherland in.
Mm-hmm. I love Keith.
And he's such a fucking prick in this movie.
Yeah, he's awesome.
But at the same time, you're like, he's a fucking badass.
Yeah.
I don't want to think he's cool, but he kind of is. This was Kiefer's coming out role, and then he was typecast for a while as the...
As like a super bad guy?
Not always a bad guy, but like either a bad guy or a very conflicted protagonist.
Mm.
Like Flatliners, for example.
I never watched that.
Oh, no?
No.
It's a good piece of shit. Kevin Bacon's in it. 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. Julia Roberts.
She's in it, so that's 6 degrees from Kevin Bacon.
What?
Is that not how the game works?
What?
Will Wheaton is so skinny here.
He is.
He's like a perfect beanpole. He's like super tall and straight.
And then he went on to be on Star Trek The Next Generation.
Wesley.
Shut up, Wesley!
And then on Big Bang Theory.
Oh, was he on it?
He's a recurring character.
Really?
And Sheldon hates him. Like, they have, like, a huge rivalry.
Well, because on Star Trek, he was, like, the most hated character. Everyone hated him.
Yeah.
Because he was the annoying kid that really shouldn't have been there. Three of these guys had Family Ties appearances.
Oh.
All but Jerry.
Who was Will Wheaton on it?
He was in one of the later seasons. He was a guy that sort of dated Jennifer for a while. Or for an episode. And then he never showed up again. River Phoenix had the best performance on Family Ties, where he was like a super genius who was 13, but like he was already in college
because
he was a prodigy.
But and he makes Alex look stupid.
He makes Alex look stupid, except that he has like a huge crush on Jennifer, but doesn't know how to deal with it.
Yeah, I remember that one.
She's just so immature, it makes me mad. I hate it. 2.37 to get enough food for four people.
2.37 these days would not get you a soda and a bag of chips.
Nope. It would get
you'd have to pick one or the other.
It would get you a soda.
Yeah, or a bag of chips.
Oh, it could get you two bags of chips if it was the dollar bag.
Yeah.
237, like room 237 in that other Stephen King movie?
Ah! Ah! What's crazy is now that we have a child who's slowly getting to this age, I look at these boys and I'm like, they're babies.
Yep.
They look like babies.
Yeah, they do.
And for years, you know, like in earlier watches like of this movie, they looked like teenagers.
Yeah.
Well, I never saw it when I was as young as you did.
Oh, well, yeah.
But they're babies. They sort of look like little men, but when you actually get a close-up of River's face, he's got a baby face still.
Yeah, he does. Yep.
Like, he's kind of like a big teenager with a baby face.
Yep.
It makes me very sad, actually, to look at him and be like, oh, he's a little baby and he's gone. I think I was a freshman in high school when he died.
Yeah, I was a freshman.
And I didn't really
know
him. I
was a freshman in college, so that's right.
Yeah, I didn't really know him that well, but
I had seen him in several things. Kiefer has so many great lines, like just putting down his friends. Why don't you tell me something I don't know, asshole? That's great. Both groups of friends in this movie remind me of the same group of friends in my life.
Oh, both groups of friends in this movie. Yes, yes, yes. Yes. I thought you were going to make a connection to this group and it. Like, I think he uses the same sort of archetype. Archetypes.
He does use the same archetypes, but I think in the movie they dialed that up even more to remind people of this movie.
Archetipos.
Because this is such a classic.
I believe archetipos is how you say it in Spanish.
Archetipos.
Spanish.
Spanish. I'm strong to the Spanish because I speaks me Spanish. I'm Popeye the Sailor Hombre.
Today's an interesting occasion because it's our first like work night recording.
Well, for you.
Well, it's a work night for me. And yet I still agreed to drink the beverages and do the talking.
What beverage?
And be witty with you.
What beverage are you drinking as you're being so witty?
I am drinking Mio Netto Dry Rosé Bubbly.
How is it?
It's okay. I'm not going to write any letters home about it and tell my friends.
Do you still write letters?
No.
They have this thing called email now. Dear Father, I am drinking a lovely bubbly rosé. By the time you get this letter, it will be gone.
By the time you read this letter, it will have been peed away.
Because I drank this 3 days ago. I hope you and sister are doing well, even though I just saw you today.
And I'm planning to see you tomorrow. Also.
By the time you read this, we will have seen each other 4 times.
I'm pretty sure that this letter will still be addressed to you and sitting on my kitchen table when you come over tomorrow, but I will tell you are not allowed to read it, for I am going to put it in the mailbox, for it needs to be mailed to you, otherwise it is not a letter, it's just something I wrote down and gave to you like a grocery list.
I hope you enjoyed the meal that I will cook for you next Wednesday.
What are you drinking?
Nothing right now. I have to get a new one.
Oh.
I was drinking vitamin C, just another t-shirt shop.
Ah.
But now it is time for something else. So anyway, I'm drinking Ecstasy of Gold by Widowmaker Brewing in Braintree, Massachusetts. Sir, why are you quoting Bible verse to me out of nowhere? I know my brother died, but that's a weird thing to say to a total stranger. This is one of Gordy's issues, is everyone loved his brother. His brother was like the promising one.
Mm.
And then his brother died in a Jeep accident.
He's living in a shadow that he'll
He's living in a shadow that he'll never get out of, and now he can't ever get out of it because his brother is dead. And Denny was the only one that stuck up for him.
Stuck up?
Stuck up.
It's a good thing that he had a brother to stuck up for him.
It did. What?
Just say it did.
Yep.
Lots of things have gone awry in this last minute.
Lots of language problems.
Lots of talk doing has not been the goods.
Lots of talking has not been my strong man. What a weird time the 50s were that kids used to just hang out in junkyards randomly.
Yeah, right.
Just hang out in the junkyard. No dangerous things here.
Don't worry, tetanus doesn't exist yet.
We all know the hippies invented tetanus.
I like how, what are you doing there? Come over here. Like the kid's going to come over and be like, yes, right. Sir?
Yes, sir? Would you like to beat me for trespassing? Perhaps send me to the who's cow?
That guy looks like a creepy sea captain.
Yeah, he does. Arr, ye be trespassing in me junkyard.
Me lost me boat, so now me sits in rusty car land.
I sick chopper on yar balls. It's also a sick time when adults would just taunt children like that.
Yeah.
Hey, could you not talk about my dad like that? Fuck you, kid. I'm going to talk about your dad all I want. He's a crazy person. Fuck you.
Right.
People were real dicks in the 50s.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Kids were wonderful and innocent, and everyone else sucked.
And the kids were the product of the time. Their parents were dicks.
You know
so
what's
they
happened?
Dicks.
These kids here,
Boomers.
Boomers. Yep. Damn it. You beat me.
Greatest Generation, then, were dicks. Because they were the ones taunting the kids.
Well, they were like, you know, like, we fought wars and shit.
Yeah. So, therefore, arrogance. That's a weird thing to do. Your kid almost eats bleach, so you punch him.
Well, back in those days.
I know. Don't eat that. It's going to kill you.
Like, it's a deterrent.
I know.
Oh, I'm going to stop doing that because I'll get hit again. But guess what? It usually doesn't work.
That will kill you if you eat it. Isn't
therefore,
enough
I'm going
of a deterrent.
To hurt you. Yeah.
That's maybe the best line in the movie. Like, if he's all caught up in blood and shit all over him, he might have nightmares.
Thinking the KLAM, the clam.
The clam.
Thank you, KLAM, the clam.
What the fuck was that?
Our next song is The Book of Love.
Wow. Jeez. I don't even know what that was.
Our next song is
The Book of
Lollipop,
Love.
Lollipop, Lollipop.
Yay!
Yay!
If Kermit was a radio host.
Who here likes Buddy Holly? Yay!
I also like that the group of them sort of pairs off.
Yeah.
It's like sort of this serious friendship here.
Yes, these are
that
the
you
two.
Only see the seriousness when they're alone.
Yes.
And then when they're all together as a foursome, you don't see that as much. And then the other two are just complete and total morons, like skipping ahead and
dancing.
Yeah,
yeah. When you're a kid, that dynamic works.
Yes.
When you're an adult, it doesn't work
it's
so
harder,
much
yeah.
anymore. You can't have that friend that treats you totally differently when you're alone versus when you're in a group.
No. I'm not observing the same thing here, though. Like, he doesn't treat them like shit in the group.
No, but it's
just that when there's a bigger dynamic, they don't have that closeness.
Yeah.
In a group, they're sort of like way up here, like at the more superficial, like, goofiness. They dip into, like, the foursome dips into it a little bit with Teddy's dad and everything, Teddy and his dad.
Well, yeah, but that was because of an external thing.
It was because of the moment.
Right.
Right, but then usually when the four of them together, it's lighter and more high level. And then when they split off, those two are able to kind of...
Have a real
Yeah, have a real connection.
Yeah. Where these two dickheads are talking about Superman and Mighty Mouse.
Yeah.
Superman is a real guy. No way a cartoon could beat up a real guy.
Yeah.
And then Vern goes, be a good fight, though.
But it's funny, yeah, it's like, it looks like two very deep conversations, but one of them is not.
Yeah, one of them is just two idiots. And then the other one is like, I don't want to do this thing with my life that I'm really good at.
I have friendships like that, though, when in a group dynamic, it's, you keep things
light
and airy. No,
keep things light is one thing, but like, my situation is more like one-on-one, we have good conversations, not even necessarily deep ones, but like,
but good.
Pleasant.
Yeah. Right.
And then when there's a group around, it's like, oh, dick.
Yeah.
That shit gets old.
It does. It's great when you're 25.
Yeah. Hey, hey, hey.
I remember hearing this when I was a kid and being like, why does that guy sing like that? Why did he do that?
Buddy Holly had some good shit.
Mm.
How old was he when he died? Early 20s?
Young. 27? Was he in the 27 club?
I don't think so. I think he was younger than that.
Really?
I think he was like 23 or something.
Ooh, wee, you. I'ma look it up on Google. See what I do there?
Yeah, I do.
Why did it take you so long?
Because I was like, that's not a Buddy Holly's. Oh, it's about Buddy Holly.
That's bad.
What's with this bitch looking stuff up online?
Oh, 23.
Yep, that's what I thought. That rock and roll vacuum in the early 60s kind of left a big opening for the Beatles.
Mm.
The three guys in the helicopter crash. Was it a helicopter or a plane?
Plane
crash. And then Elvis joining the army, and Chuck Berry, some kind of scandal. And then Jerry Lee Lewis banging his 13-year-old cousin or whatever.
Hmm.
It was like the universe said, hold on, everybody. Stop what you're doing immediately. I have four guys I need you to hear right now.
Nice green screen, Vern.
Doesn't look terrible, though. I think it's probably a rear projection shot.
Yeah, no, it's not bad.
There's no compositing. I think it's them in front of a screen.
Mm.
Like a projection screen. It's a nice plot device because they're going to see a kid who got hit by a train.
Right.
So it's like, Jesus Christ, they're all going to die.
Right.
Why don't you cook your dick? Be a small meal.
Hilarious. Oh, children smoking in the 50s.
Yeah. There was a hilarious joke when I was a freshman in high school. These two guys were like giving each other shit back and forth. And one of them goes, oh, eat me. And the other one goes, I don't do baby food. And the first guy goes, you do now. No, wait. Maybe the first cell phone I ever heard.
Jesus. Took me a few minutes.
What?
Self own. And I was like, that was your first cell phone you ever heard?
Jesus H. Christ.
Justin, enunciate.
Yes, Kelly. It was my first self-own. It was a Nokia self-own. You asshole.
Hey, we don't use profanity here.
Since fucking when? Gordy's telling them all a story that he wrote about lard-ass Hogan.
This is the part of the movie I'd seen before. How does a 12-year-old learn how to smoke for movies?
I don't know. It's a good question. And when they audition kids, were they like, you need to be able to smoke? Or
yeah, I don't know.
Do they teach them how to just take puffs and not actually inhale it? Like probably. A cigar?
And I'm sure that there are some that are like, oh no, I already smoke. I got this.
I'm sure there were.
Thinking back on it now, like even more. Fucking 12?
Yeah, it's crazy. Did you ever try cigarettes?
Yeah, I did. I tried it once when I was like 15. And was like, this is disgusting. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
And then maybe once more, because I was like super drunk. And for whatever reason, I was like, I'll smoke. And I had one puff and I was like, I hate this.
I've tried cigarettes maybe two or three times ever. And every time it was like hanging out with friends and we were all just drunk.
Yeah.
And they would smoke when they got drunk. And I was like, give me a drag of that. And just to show off, I'd be like... And take a huge drag. I'd be like, yeah, I'm a fucking badass. What? This is gross.
And then you would die, yeah.
No, I wouldn't die. I'd just be like, I don't get why. What the appeal is from this. I don't understand it at all.
No.
It doesn't taste good. Who the hell decided I'm going to pack a bunch of leaves in this paper and then light it on fire and breathe through it?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's so odd. Also, I find eating contests kind of obscene.
Yeah.
In a world where some people have no food at all, we're going to... make a contest out of eating as much shit as we can without puking.
Yeah. Remember that show we used to watch? Was it Man vs. Food?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was kind of obscene.
Like, and we like there was a point where we looked at each other once. We were like, why are we watching this?
Yeah. This is why people hate us.
Yeah.
Blah. Ha. Look, I'm your father in your stomach. I think this was the first movie or TV show of any kind I ever saw with the projectile vomiting gag.
Mm-hmm.
Where the hose is very clearly taped to the side of their mouth. Blah. Like, it doesn't even line up.
Yeah, it doesn't. So I think I was at my friend Janet's house, actually. And her brother was watching this movie when we were in the room. And I looked at the TV and I was like, what is that happening?
Janet? Yeah.
Oh, God, Janet!
No, when I saw this in the theater erupted during that scene.
Yeah.
And then Teddy's like, then what happened? That ending sucks. That's almost like a Stephen King joke.
Yeah.
Even though I don't think back then Stephen King had the reputation for writing bad endings.
But does he have a serious reputation for that now?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, and they make a joke about it in the second It movie. I like his short stories better in a lot of ways because they end abruptly and it's like they just leave the rest of the imagination. It's like, holy shit, that's the, oh my God, that could go anywhere. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Have you read a lot of his short stories?
No, but I know that like this is a good example of one. And even with The Shining, like The Shining ends on like, holy shit, they made it out.
Well, the book is a little bit different than that.
Okay,
there's
either way.
There's actually an epilogue in the book.
I like when short stories do that in general.
Yeah, where they just leave you hanging, kind of.
Yeah.
You should read some of his short stories. They're pretty awesome.
I'm sure I would enjoy them.
Gordy's having a nightmare. It's both upsetting and hilarious. They're burying his brother, and his dad puts his hand on his shoulder and goes, it should have been you, Gordon.
Why is that funny? It's horrifying.
It's just darkly funny because it's like such an awful thing to say.
Mm-mm.
When I saw it in the theater, I laughed at it.
You did?
Yeah.
Were you the only one?
No. A lot of people laughed at it. Because it's like, what a horrible thing to say to your kid.
Well, yeah.
But even at that age, I was like, that's really funny and horrible at the same time. This is some good character building for Chris. Where they're talking about the time that he took the milk money at school. And all the parents assumed that he did it, even though they never proved it.
Mm. So they all think he's a terrible kid?
He had a bad reputation, so they all think he's a terrible kid. And then Gordy's like, well, did you take it? And he's like, yeah, I took it. But I tried to give it back. But then the teacher pretended I didn't, and she pocketed the money and bought herself a new dress because she knew that everyone would accept the story that I took it because I'm the bad kid.
Right. It perpetuates that belief that, like, if you have shitty parents, you become a shitty person. Right. Like, if you grow up in a shitty situation.
If you have a shitty reputation, that both like precedes you and...
A self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I was trying to get to. I didn't do it very eloquently, but yes.
And it follows you everywhere.
It's like if you grow up in the bad, then the bad follows you, and then you become the bad, and the bad, the bad, the bad.
Wow.
Bad.
And then Chris says, I wish I could move to a place where nobody knows me.
Ray Brower, what about Jack Bauer?
Kiefer Sutherland?
Yeah.
Yeah! A town in Maryland tried to name a street after Jack Bauer, but they had to change it because nobody crosses Jack Bauer. That's one of those online jokes back in the day.
I forgot about that.
That was funny shit.
Yeah. Remember the Chuck Norris ones?
Yeah. Somebody recently posted a thing that Chuck Norris had died and then came back.
Is that the end of your story?
I forget what the line was. I don't remember.
That was a really bad story.
Shut up. The champagne and bottled beer.
Don't change the subject. You said shut up to your wife.
Shut up.
I'm not speaking for the rest of this episode.
Really? So anyway, Kelly's a wicked old shrew. I don't know if you people know this, but she's the worst. She slaps me in the face when we're cleaning. She tells me I suck. And she punches me in the nutsack. And then she hits me with rolling pins. And I say, can I have a pizza first? She says, no!
Your face was amazing. Your face was like the Death Star trying not to explode. That was all right. Totally worth it.
Totally worth telling you to shut up. Where's my apology?
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
But shut up.
Dude, you can bet your bottom dollar. If I were on a hike and I fell into a river with all of my belongings,
I would be out immediately.
Livid.
Yeah.
Like, the trip would be over. I'd be like, fuck you. Fuck everything you stand for. I'm fucking out of here.
Oh, my God. That was loud. That was like being stabbed in the ear. Oh, my God. This is the first time I had ever heard of leeches.
Mm.
And they're everywhere.
So gross.
I think those are real leeches, too.
Dude, I would fucking quit the movie.
Uh-oh. Gordy is troubled by something. Oh, no.
This is horrifying.
I got a leech on my balls. I got a leech on my balls. Maybe he's dead. He's not dead. He's still breathing, you idiot.
I like that. Well, I don't know. Like, you can see him. I don't know. I don't know. Is he breathing?
Or is he? I don't know. I don't know.
Is he dead? He's breathing. I don't know. I don't know. Let me ask you a question.
What?
You're 12 years old. Do you go look at a dead body of a kid?
Go through all this? I don't know about that.
What if it was around the corner?
If it was around the corner, morbid curiosity, probably.
You're gross.
I think most people would probably say yes. This is where he confronts the fact that his dad doesn't like him very much. I wonder how you get child actors to cry on cue.
I don't know. I mean, I think a 12-year-old knows enough to be like, I'm going to cry. It's going to be awesome.
I don't know. I don't think I really did at 12.
I mean, I was a dramatic child, but I definitely practiced crying.
What?
I was interested in the performing.
I wonder what it looks like when I cry.
No, but I was a performer, like a dancer and a performer and that whole thing. And if I had to cry on camera, could I do it? Like, I definitely thought about it.
By the time I was 12, I had suppressed all that shit because I cried a lot when I was little.
Well, every kid cries a lot.
Yeah, but I think I had. Like, that's stupid. Stop crying so much.
There's a huge parallel, again, between Gordy and his dad, and in It, the kid and his dad after the brother dies. Yeah. Where, like, the dad becomes a shell of himself, and the brother is like, it was a little bit different because he was mad at the dad for forgetting about the brother. And in this case, the dad can't let the brother go.
It's role reversal almost.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's the...
But it's still it's a, the bro- there's it's still the, a strained
it's
relationship.
It's the kid who can't let the brother go.
Right, the surviving kid and the dad have no relationship.
Right.
For different reasons.
Yeah, I mean, Stephen King has recurring themes like that anyway in his books.
Makes you wonder if maybe he sucks.
Jesus.
It was a joke.
No, he's he revisits themes a lot. In the book, he gets them.
How?
He and his friends beat the shit out of all four of them when they get home.
The older kids beat up the little kids?
Yeah.
Oh.
When they get back.
That's too bad.
The book is a bit darker than the movie. Mm. Also, what happens to Gordy's friends is a bit darker.
Like in their lives?
Yeah. In the epilogue. Mm. All three of them die by their early 20s in the book.
What?
Yeah.
What the actual crap?
What the crap? Besides Chris getting stabbed, I forget which is which, but one of them dies in a fire and the other one dies in a car accident, I think. It's like, Jesus, Steven.
Why don't you let some people live, damn it?
That's almost as depressing as the orgy in It.
Oh, Jesus.
Christ.
That makes me so sad. He's got some serious charisma, that kid.
River?
Yeah. I mean, they all do. They're all so good in this.
River definitely had charisma.
It is a quintessential light gone dark.
The light that burns twice as bright burns half as long. That's why I have no ambition. I want to live longer. I never had any friends later on like I did when I was 12.
Jesus, does anyone?
No. Another reason why adulting sucks.
A little bit. I can honestly say, and I have to tell her this now, that I made a friend when I was 14 years old, and she, to this day, is the same kind of friend she was then.
Yeah, you do have certain friends that you can separate for a long time, and then when you get back together, you pick up right where you left off.
Right. I can't hear the song and not want to sing along with it. I love singing this song.
Like Barney?
No.
No, I won't shed no tears.
Oh my God, we got through the whole recording without talking about it.
Tennessee, Tennessee. So, thoughts about this movie?
I love this movie.
I love this movie too.
It makes me want to be a kid again.
Yep.
Next. And I love that they have this beautiful balance of innocence versus they get it. Like, the way that they support each other, they get it.
Yeah. It's a coming-of-age story. It's like the loss of innocence.
Yeah.
But it's the very beginning of that.
Right.
That moment when you're 12 going on 13, when that
shit gets real.
Snap happens.
Yeah.
The movie captures it perfectly.
Can you identify the moment where you lost your innocence? Like, if you think back, can you think of a moment where you were like, oh shit, I'm a grown up now? Or like, not even that you knew it then, but like when you look back now, you're like, that was the moment. And I don't know that I have an answer to that.
Not so much innocence, but I feel like my identity really kind of sprouted up just before 12. I feel like 11, like 1987 was the year that...
It's when you stopped being a little kid and started being Justin Ballard?
Kind of, yeah. Like I almost became self-aware at that point.
I think the summer between my junior and senior years of high school was when I figured out who I was. But I don't know. Like, I got to think about it a little bit more because that's still different than the sort of loss of innocence. Like, they saw a dead body. There was a line in the sand.
Right. I don't have, like, an incident or anything. I don't know if it was because I was 11 when I started watching wrestling and that was such a huge thing for me. And I also really got into, I was into movies anyway, but, like, I got into movies on a different level than I had previously, maybe.
I'm not sure I expected either one of those things to be.
And it was also, reason. I guess 11 was when I really got into the Beatles, so it was when music really became important. Even though my tastes were extremely limited, but it was the first time that, like, any musical artist was super important to me. I think it was when I discovered, like, an appreciation for the three major art forms that are...
That define you.
That define me now.
Yeah. What it comes down to is somewhere in that summer, my awkwardness went away. Mm-hmm. My confidence came, and I was a completely different person. Like, my whole senior year, I was a different, more confident person.
My confidence started to come when I was about 15, because my hair grew out, and I had fully transitioned from nerd into metal guy. Mm. So I had an identity in high school, and I still wasn't, like, any more popular, but, like, I think I was more respected. Instead of being the nerd that people picked on, it was just the metal guy that... The popular
people just kind of stayed away from.
Stayed away from.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was also when girls actually started noticing me. Mm.
That summer between my junior and senior year was like, now I know who I am. I was the nerdy kid who, like, actually really wanted to be popular.
I did too.
I desperately wanted it.
Yep.
But I didn't fit in with any of those people.
Nope.
And I didn't have the personality for it.
Nope.
And then I sort of fell into, like, it's just who I am.
I became more popular when I stopped caring.
When you embraced it, yeah. And once I was like, I'm a senior. At this point, it doesn't fucking matter anymore. I specifically remember it being one of the most confident years of my life.
Senior year was great.
Senior year was awesome.
I felt like I owned the world senior year.
Yeah, and like, not because I was at the top of it.
No, I just felt like...
out of the world. I just felt like...
I felt like...
I knew what I was and what I wanted to be.
I knew who I was, and people...
Stop shitting on you.
No, I feel like people respected me because I knew who I was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And everything was in front of me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I could do anything right now. I can be a rock star.
Yeah.
And I will be. I wasn't. Spoiler alert. I never became a rock star.
And here we are.
And here we
are. In our basement, talking about movies.
Talking to you people, all 10 of you who listen to this show. Oh, Jesus.
About our wasted dreams and aspirations, and what even are we?
Jesus Christ. We're Teddy and Vern, is what we are.
Oh, God, we're Teddy and Vern. We're not Teddy and Vern.
Teddy and Vern.
I mean, I guess I'd rather be Teddy and Vern than a guy that dies in a fast food establishment. You're Teddy, you're Vern, you're Chris. Either way,
you know
it ends up sucky.
You're actually pretty successful. You're Gordy. I'm Vern.
You're Vern. What happens to Vern?
He just drives a forklift or something.
Forklift driver. Jesus. Not that there's anything wrong with forklift drivers,
Kelly.
But you don't do repetitive tasks all day.
Hey, Kelly. What if he's all cut up in blood and shit all over him?
Okay, you're Vern.
I might have nightmares.
You're definitely Vern.
Anyway, we love Stand By Me is the point.
We do.
Stand By Me is a wonderful coming-of-age story, and it resonates well into adulthood because you remember back to those times. And
you watch a movie like this, and it makes you think, what was that like for me? And how did I do this? And what was that all about?
When did I lose my innocence? Yeah. What was it like before that? What were my friends like before that?
I find myself enjoying coming-of-age stories like this more so than like the, you know, American Pie teen comedies and stuff that I grew up with.
Well, those are very engineered.
No, they're very engineered. But like those were the movies that came out at the same age that I was.
Yeah.
Where like this was supposed to be the reflection of my generation.
Right.
So you went to Stand By Me, and I went to Can't Hardly Wait.
Jesus.
Anyway.
Try to be a Gordy in life.
Yeah, try to be a Gordy.
Chase your dreams.
Share with us, though, if you so dare, when was your innocence lost?
Yeah.
When did you finally grow into your own?
When did you decide what you wanted to be? Comment, like, subscribe, click notification.
Turn that red bell gray.
Turn that red bell gray so you can know all the videos that are coming up on the show. Oh my God.
Slam that bell.
Oh God.
Our son watches a lot of YouTube.
Oh. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thanks for watching, everybody. Don't forget to click that subscribe button and follow us on Twitter, MeWe, and Facebook.